Yes, sir. And just like that, we are back. I am back in the country. Just flew in from Madrid, Spain last night into the Yayo. The Yayo is Miami. If you don't know what the Yayo means, just Google it. Back in the in the Scarface day, they call it the Yayo.
The Yayo.
So I'm back in the Yayo, and just like that, we're back in the building. And this is Paper Route. I'm your host, Brandon Marshall. Let's go. Yes. And also, I got my boys with me. I got Andrew Wu Hu out in the West. Bam. Right there.
Let's go.
And then I also got BC in the booth. Fellas, how are y'all Mondays going?
It's going bright and fresh. I feel great today.
You feel great?
I feel great today, actually. How about yourself?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. I got the juice for the show. It was a slow start to the morning because I got in late last night. But so far, so good. Not great like you, but good. BC, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Top of the week. Ready to get to it. Let's do it. It was a good little weekend.
Ready to get to it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know why he's kicking bars right now. But for the audio viewership.
Audio listenership. Okay, there we go. Okay, now.
I told you I was feeling great.
All right.
Can you explain these glasses? Please. Right, I've been waiting about 15 minutes for these glasses.
Is wearing glasses. Yes, please explain.
So, BC, you weren't in the studio yet. So, I'm sitting in the studio. Bianca was the first one in. Shout out to Bianca, first one in. Mm. So, she's like the Tom Brady type. And then I came in second. Then you came in, Andrew. And Andrew walks in, BC, and he's like, what's up with these glasses? I was like, we'll talk about it on the show. And so let me tell you the story about the glasses. Let's go back to 2014, so damn near 10 years ago, right? Mm. I'm playing for the Chicago Bears, and I wanted to be cute. Everybody was wearing suits in that era all the time, and I was like, let me look sophisticated. So I go out and buy these glasses, and they got some medicine in them. But I'm wearing these glasses like every Sunday when I'm on my suits or if I have some type of business meeting, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't need prescription, all right? Fast forward 10 years later, a couple of months back, man, my eyes just start bothering me. I can't see far. Shit is blurry, all of that, right? So I'm like, damn, I'm getting old, about to turn 40. This morning, I'm like, let me grab those glasses. Let me see. Bro, I threw the glasses on and everything looks amazing. So these glasses that I bought 10 years ago just for looks finally came, you know, in use. They're very useful now, like needed, much needed.
Wow.
And everything looks clear, bro. It's amazing.
Can I just chime in and ask real quick, B, are you sure you didn't give yourself the reason to wear glasses by wearing them at the wrong time?
These are Giorgio Armani. So these expensive glasses. Got some medicine in them. And bro, they look good. Like my eyes, I can see.
How much did you wear these glasses, though, 10 years ago when you didn't need them?
I wore them actually for a couple of years. Like if you see some of my stuff, and if I have on like looks like glasses, prescription glasses, it's these. But so I wore them like on TV. I wore them like when I had a suit on. It was like my sophisticated look. So I wore them a bunch, bro. I can't even count how many times I wore them.
Oh, you trained your eyes then.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Did you give yourself this problem? Because that means you trained your eyesight. Now when you put them on, you see better.
No, I always had 20/20. I always had 20/20 vision, and I haven't worn these glasses in years, actually, right? So I don't think I trained my eyes, bro, because I was seeing perfectly up until a couple of months ago. I just woke up, shit, just foggy, little glary, and it's not every day. It's not every day.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm getting older. I'm about to turn 40. I'm about to turn 40. I guess this is what happens.
Man, this is what happens. I mean, my eyesight still works pretty good, so, you know.
So you have no problems?
So far, so good.
That's good.
BC, quick question, because I remember this era that B's talking about. I fell victim to this era.
Oh, you had the glasses?
Yeah. No medicine in them, though.
No medicine?
No medicine. Did you fall victim to the glasses era, BC?
You know, I rocked a couple pairs specs.
Some specs.
Non-medicated.
But they weren't like prescription. No, just for style,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, just for style. I'll rock a little pair of specs.
Yeah, no, I did it, but you know, my thing was, I think my eyes felt claustrophobic. It was just too close. It was too close, man. Too close.
Too close. Yeah,
it was just too close.
The only thing I need on my eyes are shades, a good shade, but that's it.
Yeah.
So far,
yeah.
So good.
Man, so, I mean, that's the story of the glasses. You know, hopefully that's the last thing that goes, because they say when you get older, other thing, you have other problems right now. Yeah. You know, my sex drive is still high, so that's working. That's good.
TMI.
So, I'm just saying, like, damn, I'm turning 40. My eyes, all of a sudden, just like that, boom, your eyes go.
No. Man.
Sex drive still good. Actually, it's getting crazier.
To somebody who's over the 40, everything is good. You just got to eat good.
You got it. So you good. Yeah. Your sex drive still good? Pause.
Pumping.
What's that? I'm like a V8. Hey, so quick question, fellas. I have to ask this. If you ended a game and it was almost 400 points combined on the board, would that be a good game or a bad game?
That would be a shitty game.
All right, so let's talk about it. So last night, we had the All-Star game, and the total points, guys, was 397 points, and the East won by 25. Even Adam Silver was upset about this.
Really?
Yeah, he said it basically isn't a competitive game anymore. And even the players started to say that the best thing about the game was between quarters, the acrobats that did dunks. So I'm here to ask, what was your reaction to last night's event?
I would have to say, I don't know. I didn't watch it. BC, I know you're a huge hoops fan. You know, I like the game, but people know that listen to me, and I've been saying this for years, I like the game once it gets closer to postseason, but I start watching really at the end of March, you know, early April. I didn't watch, and I didn't even care to watch. Like, I saw all the stuff, NBA All-Star Weekend, and they got all these events and the big game. I didn't even care to watch the highlights. That's how bad this is for me. Now, like, seriously, because in the past, you were just like, all right, I ain't going to really tune into the game. You know, like, first it was like, I'm going to tune in, but then you start watching. And then it was, I ain't going to tune in, but I'm going to watch the highlights. I don't even care to watch the highlights. I don't care to watch highlights. There was one thing that just came on literally right before we started the show. I was like, oh, that's dope. Was Dame Lillard hitting a three from half court. And it was just effortless. Like, the dude just stopped. He pulled his normal form, nothing but net.
Right.
That was the only thing that I caught my eye. Everything else, whack, BC.
I mean, it lost the competitiveness, man. They just out there playing around, no defense. Everybody's just kind of just jumping around. Oh, yeah, I'm going to just let you blow by me and do this little funky layup right here. No competitive nature at all. Everybody's afraid to get hurt, I guess, you know, protecting the bag. I don't know what it is. The All-Star game used to be a little bit more competitive. Like, you actually wanted to beat East versus West, all that. But, yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
It was cool or whack? Come on, man. Say it.
Yeah, I got to say it was a little whack.
397 points.
So did you watch the entire game?
I fell asleep. to be honest, I fell asleep. I was watching it. I was watching it till about the third quarter.
Why did you even tune in?
Because you want to see your favorite stars on the court at the same time. I do want to see them all, because it's cool to, like, see Kawhi, LeBron, KD, Dame, everybody, like, on the court, your favorite players, the top stars on the court at the same time. That's dope. But if they're not really playing or giving any type of effort, like, I want to see them actually, like, do they even practice? Like, do they even have an all-star game practice? Like, yo, we're going to go do this? Nah, I think they just all show up in their outfits and just be ready to
play. I don't
know.
Maybe it's the end of all these, you know, the all-star era where
– it's the festivities and stuff that's really the big thing. The parties, you know, the events and stuff like that. Like, the whole weekend and that type of stuff, that is really more what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the actual All-Star game has been trash for a minute.
If you guys had to pinpoint it, what do you think was the turning point? Because this has happened in NFL a lot earlier. I would say the last half a decade to a decade, they've been playing soft in the NFL All-Star or Pro Bowl, sorry, game. So, like, what do you think is the result of this? Like, he just mentioned festivities, but is it just festivities? Is it these guys are too friendly with
each
other?
What's the result of what, like, the game being terrible?
Yeah.
It's non-competitive. It's more information. The guys are getting smarter. It, you know, as a fan and on the other side of it now, it sucks. You know, it's a waste of time to even tune in. Mm-hmm. But as a player, I get it. I get it because, look, in the NFL, this is a brutal game. So now you're talking about a meaningless game. You want us to go over to Hawaii. Now the game has moved to the States at times where you can go to Vegas, you go to Orlando, Miami. And so you want me to go after, right before the Super Bowl, my season's over, and play in this meaningless game and potentially tear my ACL, snap my Achilles, mess up my AC joint, maybe get another concussion, right? Some of these guys, they're the best of the best. They are the best of the best. That's why they're in an All-Star game. So some of those guys are renegotiating deals or they're up for contract, right? And so why would they go out there and play? It's the same thing that's happening in college football. In college football, I make it to the bowl game and I'm freaking a month or two away from being a multi-millionaire. Why would I jeopardize any of that? So it makes sense. And so that's why I said earlier, like, I think this might be the end of the All-Star era, like truly watching the game and being excited about it. I think the best thing that's cooking in All-Star right now is the MLB All-Star game, right? Like, the home run derby is still exciting.
Like, who has the best All-Star weekend, the best All-Star game?
Right, and I think the best All-Star week is what you were saying earlier, BC. You know, when it comes to the festivities, it's probably NBA because there's so many parties, so many people in town. There's some of our players are launching new shoes.
Yeah, all the brands are there doing their thing too. Yeah, it's I think it's probably one of the best for the festivities and the events around it. Yes.
I can't understand why the NBA. When you say what was the turning point, like what, you know, how did we get to this? I don't understand why the NBA All-Star game is so whack. You know what I mean?
Right?
I don't know because they don't have, they're not, you know, open to those type of injuries, as big of injuries as the football players are. They can still go out there and compete at a high level. And put on a great show and still protect themselves. They do it in the off season. Look at all the amazing runs in LA, the amazing runs in Miami, the amazing runs in New York. They're out there. The best of the best is playing against each other. And those games are more competitive, right, B?
Yeah, 100%.
So I don't get the NBA.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I will say this. I was doing a little research here to see if you guys remember the concussion movie, right?
Yep.
So I was just trying to see if anything aligned with it, and then I did a little bit of Google research. Some people are saying 2010 because that's when the Pro Bowl became it basically switched from after the Super Bowl to before. But the concussion movie was 2015, so it still hasn't even been a decade since then. And just to feedback on what you said about the NBA, I would probably say the biggest blame I've seen, and I do want to hear what you guys have to say about this, is a lot of people blame the AAU circuit. They become too friendly. Maybe, yes, they may be competitive in those games. I don't know why they wouldn't be competitive in the All-Star game, because you could roll an ankle in either game.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of people still lean into the AAU example, like, you know, I ain't going to dunk on my homie. We just playing for the fans. Like, they're not taking it as serious.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. I mean, they're competitors at the end of the day, and they do want to beat each other. Like, KD, as much as he respects LeBron, he wants to go out there and beat LeBron if they're playing against each other regularly. But I just think this All-Star thing is like, nobody wants to get hurt. It's like, why am I doing this? This is supposed to be our off week. You know, this is the week most of these guys would rather be resting and getting prepared for the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. But they have to kind of come out here and entertain the fans. I think the concept of the All-Star game is great. You know, getting the best, the top in the world, the superstars, putting them together all in one arena and having them play. I think the concept is great. The product is not great.
Yeah. And you know, look, I think it's a lot about what you guys just said as far as, you know, tired, you know, it's middle of the season, don't really want to give that type of effort. And maybe there's some of it has to do with defense, right? You know, this is such an offensive era, offensive game now. You know, when you play defense, that's a attitude, that's a commitment, and to do that in an All-Star game, you know, in the offensive era, is probably asking these dudes a little too much. And that's why you see, you know, great on the offensive side. I mean, on the offensive side, you're seeing some cool dunks. You're seeing, like I said, Dame Lillard pull from half court. So you're seeing some action there, but dudes aren't really trying. Think about being that guy, meaning you're the guy that's playing hard on the defensive end, and you're the one that hurts LeBron. You're the one that hurts Steph Curry. Yeah. You're the one that hurts Giannis or Shea or Joker, right?
Like during a meaningless game.
Right. Like, you don't want to be that guy. Right. So, look, they just need to continue to lean into, you know, all the other things that people wanted to see. I know we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but, like, one of the things that I wanted to see, probably one of the only things that I wanted to see, was Sabrina versus Steph. In a 3-point contest.
Well, let's not jump the gun.
No, but you ain't hear what I said. I said we're going to talk about it in a few minutes.
Well, yeah, we're going to get there.
Okay.
I just know it's an exciting topic because
Andrew said, okay, Brandon, shut your mouth. Okay, I got you.
No, well, because the thing is, so we know that the All-Star game, right? That used to be the most exciting part of this weekend.
Yep.
This is the unfortunate part, though, both B and BC. You ever thought the dunk contest wouldn't be interesting anymore?
Never thought that. Never.
If I told you 5 years ago a G League guy named Mac McClung was going to win back-to-back dunk contests, would you believe me, guys?
I don't even know who Mac McClung is.
I hope I'm saying it right, but yeah, Mac McClung. Yeah.
Well, I think I did see that clip where Shaquille O'Neal came out and said, hey, come here. They don't know who you are. They don't know your name. Make them remember. Uh-huh. Was that the guy?
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. That was a pretty damn good Shaq impression, though.
Impression.
Right, BC?
Yeah, that was good.
The tone and everything was pretty damn good.
Was that the same guy he said it to?
Yeah. I believe so.
That was cool.
But, Mac McClung, this is the unfortunate part, too, guys, is that he was a G Leaguer last time, and he came out, he's still a G Leaguer. So, when is the NBA actually going to give this guy a chance? Probably got to see more of his game, but what is your thoughts on the contest now?
So, BC, I'll go first here. Back the dunk contest is trash. It's done, and it needs to be not revamped. It needs to be owned by the superstars. When you think about back in the day, there's a few events that you always tuned into, and the dunk contest was one of them. Every year you were like, oh, I got to see the dunk contest.
Right.
Even a home run derby. I don't watch baseball, but I love watching a home run derby, right? That's one of those events that you tune into. And yes, Andrew, you're right. Nobody is checking for the dunk contest like that anymore. And one of the reasons is because the superstars aren't involved. It's not about the best dunkers, right? The best dunkers are guys that you probably never heard of, or maybe even be in a G League, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what we want to see. That's not what made the dunk contest. There's a lot of conversation around LeBron James, and maybe LeBron James is the reason why the other superstars aren't participating. But that's just one guy, man. This is a big deal when you talk about the dunk contest. So there's a list of superstars that should be in a dunk contest that isn't in a dunk contest. If they can get that right, then they're probably going to see participation. They're probably going to see engagement go back up. I don't want to see the best dunkers. I want to see the best superstar dunkers in the dunk contest. That's what is missing. BC, you're a basketball guy. Do you have a list of superstars that can dunk, that should be in the dunk contest, but they're not participating?
Not participating. I would probably go with, of course, Zion. I would love to see Zion, a healthy Zion, go in the dunk contest.
Right.
He's mean.
But how many windmills do you think
he's going to do? Give me the list quick. So Zion.
Zion, Anthony Edwards. Wemby says he wants to do it, but Jalen Green out in Houston. He's nasty with it.
Ja Morant, healthy Ja Morant. I want to see Giannis.
I want to see Giannis.
MJ did it.
Giannis is not that great of a dunker.
Did Kobe ever do the dunk contest?
I believe Kobe did do it. I gotta double check that. I think he did do it though at least one year.
LeBron needed to do it on his last year.
Right?
Yeah.
Kobe did it. LeBron needs to be his farewell.
Listen, LeBron's not gonna do it now. He should do one, but he always ran from it. And that was always one of the things for me too, as well. Like, he just ran from the dunk contest. Like, they wanna see you, the superstar, in the game. Like, Michael Jordan did the dunk contest. Went up against Dominique Wilkins, probably the greatest dunk contest ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron should have did that, especially early on. He should have just went in and got it out the way. And I think that did contribute to a lot of superstars not doing it, feeling like they don't really have to. A lot of it is because, too, they don't want to lose. You know what I mean? They don't want to be in there like, oh, I lost the dunk contest.
Then MJ probably lost one, man. Like, come on. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
I think it would be legendary for LeBron James on his farewell tour. I know we'll talk about that because he has some thoughts. He shared some thoughts this past weekend in Indy on his future. And I think it would be legendary for LeBron James during his farewell tour to make an appearance in the dunk contest. I mean, the dude, if you watch him at 39, he's still got bunnies. He's still doing some dope stuff.
I mean,
like, I don't think he needs to go out there and do anything crazy and be 360s. He just needs to go out there and just show up. Like, I think that would be legendary.
I mean, for the show of it, yeah, he's not going to win because he's 40 years old. He's not going to do nothing crazy. What, the little pull back? Like, he's not going to do anything. So I would have liked to see LeBron do it when he had the wheels, like when he was in his prime going out there flying. Like, that's when he was supposed to do it. I don't want to see old man Bron trying to do the dunk contest.
Even if he – look, what about this, though? All right, let's say he doesn't even – he's not a full participant. Yeah, during his farewell tour last year, NBA All-Star stop. Maybe he just goes out there and do one or two dunks. It's like an honorary dunk.
You know,
he just sits courtside, takes off. He has a suit on or something. Breakaway suit. Boom, pull that off and then just come out and do a windmill. Ah. Y'all see?
You know what I'm saying? I can see that in the game.
What's under the suit?
He does that in the game.
Outfit. To me, was under the suit.
The jersey under that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got the jersey in the suit. The breakaway suit. And he comes in and now he's in his jersey. His Space Jam fit or something. Nah.
Oh, man. Nah. All right. Well, B said his answer, I think, already. But BC, what would be your answer to this question? Mm. How do they actually fix the dunk contest? B said, bring the celebrities, bring the personalities, and you got the mix back. What's yours, BC?
No, I agree. Put the superstars back in the dunk contest. Like, nobody knows who Mac McClung is. That's great that he's a dunker and he actually won, but nobody knows who he is. And right now, after that, he's going back to the G League. So it's like nobody's even going to watch him.
Make the dunk contest great again. America, NBA, make the dunk contest great again. I still want to see KD. I want to see Giannis. I want to see Ja Morant. I want to see Anthony Edwards.
I want to see Aaron Gordon back doing the craziness.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? Zach LaVine. The old Blake Griffin jumping over
the
car.
Give me Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum. I mean, Jaylen Brown went and did his thing. I think he did his thing too. So, I mean, at least he's stepping up. You know, he's considered a superstar in the league, so he's stepping up and getting in there. So we don't want to leave him out of it.
Make the dunk contest great again, please.
100%.
The dunk contest was an American treasure. We had everybody. It was like a heavyweight boxing event. You got Tyson versus Holyfield. You know, it was like the Super Bowl. Everybody gathers in the living room. We're watching this. Get the popcorn ready. It's not like that anymore. We want that back. And to get it back, you need the superstars to honor the dunk contest. You have to have the superstars participate in the dunk contest. Ja Morant, bring back the dunk contest.
But we need the dunkers. Just the dunkers.
No. Be specific. Not just dunkers. We need the superstar dunkers.
Yeah. Superstar dunkers.
And you don't even have to be a crazy dunker. Like, we didn't seen every dunk already. What else can you do? Now it's all about the props. We didn't seen that. We just want to see the best dunk and bring out their props.
Yeah. Correct. And see who wins from that.
That's right.
Let me ask you guys this, though. If he never does it, let's say he doesn't do his farewell tour and dunk contest and all that stuff, 5 years after he retired, should he feel ashamed?
No, he shouldn't feel ashamed.
No, man, ashamed. I mean, he's still LeBron James.
But we all have lived with regrets.
Regrets. I will say, though, that is one thing I will hold against him. Like, damn, you never did the dunk contest?
I feel like it's an empty space on his mantle.
Especially when you say you chasing, MJ.
Yeah.
You gonna go, eh?
Yeah.
You gotta do it. It ain't that important?
Nah.
It's not, yeah, but you just said you want to see him on the farewell joint.
I do want to see it, but I'm saying, should he have regrets?
Old man. Yeah, no regrets. Not feel ashamed. No regrets. Yeah, I mean, he's accomplished everything else.
But he just should have done it.
But he just should have done it. Like, just for the sport, for the culture. You should have did it for the culture.
let's talk about something that I actually was excited to see.
You ready for it?
And I'm so happy that they talked about this and promoted it weeks before. And that was Sabrina versus Steph. Like, that is what they need to continue to lean into. The game might be done forever, okay? The dunk contest, they can revamp. They can put more life back into the dunk contest. They need to continue to think about other things that will create, you know, engagement and excitement and anticipation. Right. And Steph versus Sabrina was legendary.
Yeah.
And I want to see them continue to do this and find other ways that they can bring in other WNBA players in other ways. But this was pretty cool. Don't overdo it, but do it. This was really good, BC. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, some say that, you know, it was great, but it was overshadowed by Kenny Smith, who said that Sabrina should have shot from the WNBA's three-point line instead of the NBA three-point line. B, what is your thoughts? B meaning Brandon. Here's my thoughts. And this is a tricky conversation, right? Because when you start talking about, you know, men and women and rights and gender, your ass can get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You can get canceled. So here's what I would say first. Disclaimer. I would say this first. I appreciate Sabrina doing this. Like, this is legendary. That's what legends do. Nah, mm-hmm. F that. I'm going to do what you do, Steph. But the reality is, if she shot from the WNBA line, she probably would have won. She probably would have won. Like, I don't even want to get into the gender thing. Please don't cancel me. Please don't cancel me. But Kenny Smith, I don't think those was bad comments. Right? Because think about it. You, Steph, it's only about fear. Not fear from a gender standpoint. Men are stronger or better than women. We ain't talking about that. I don't want to get canceled. But what we are saying is, from an athlete perspective, Steph trains from that line.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina trains from the other line, the WNBA line.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Why would you give the greatest shooter ever a more competitive advantage? That doesn't make any sense to me. She literally won. I mean, he won by three, 29 three points, to 26.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think she should have shot from the WNBA line. It would have been more interesting, and it was already interesting. It was fabulous. I can't wait to see it again. That was awesome. Great addition. But I ride with Kenny, and I don't think it was bad comments. And it was from a athlete perspective. We're talking about muscle memory. Muscle memory. She opened up hitting seven in a row. I know Steph was probably sitting there shitting his pants like, holy shit, what did I get myself into? She opened up seven in a row. Muscle memory. Like, I mean, everything matters. If you're talking about an inch off, go to track and field, triple jump, high jump, long jump. They have marks. I'm going to run from my mark 80 feet out, and I'm going to hit that board from 80 feet out. And you're talking about, by a freaking fingernail, and it's dead on. Bam. Quarterback drops 3-step, 5-step, 7-step. So now you're talking about three, two of the greatest shooters ever, the greatest shooter ever. You're giving him advantage. I didn't like that, BC. What was your thoughts on this?
I don't think it's so much of an advantage. I mean, she's able to shoot from there. She hit, what, 7 in a row, you said? She's able to shoot from there. So she probably shoots so good in the WNBA because of her ability to shoot from the regular three-point line. Plus, you at the NBA All-Star Game. We're not at the WNBA All-Star Game. We're in the NBA All-Star Game. So you're going to shoot from this line. If you want the challenge, then the challenge is you got to shoot from regular three-point. I don't think that it could have been the outcome is the same. I don't think it was an unfair advantage for Steph. You came out to the NBA three-point contest. You're shooting. She can shoot from there. And she showed that she has the ability to shoot from there. Her score, 26, was good enough to qualify her in the men's three-point contest. She had the same points as three or four other NBA players who had it. So she showed that she can shoot from that. So there's no reason to give her any extra, oh, no, baby her, nothing. No, you're a woman athlete. You're very capable. It's not a game. We're not playing a whole game. You can shoot. If she can shoot from the WNBA line, she can shoot from the NBA line.
I think it's good. I got to push back, BC. It makes no sense at all. We're talking about reps. Does she practice more at the NBA line or the WNBA line?
We don't know that.
We do know. She's in the WNBA. But there's no way she's in practice. You know, and everybody else is pulling from the WNBA, like they're doing their drills, and the coach say, okay, well, we're going to practice from the NBA line. I'm sure it happens where, you know, even after, like, because in the NBA, you see the guys pulling from, you know, the logo, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
You see them doing that, but consistently, when you see Steph Curry go through his drills, you see him at the NBA line. When you see a Sabrina and the Caitlins of the world going through their drills, they're pulling from the WNBA line, right? Like, that's a competitive advantage from an athlete's perspective. It's muscle memory. It's just like in golf, like you have the men's tees and the women's tees. It doesn't mean they can't do it, mm-hmm. but they're getting more reps there. So that's why I say it's a competitive advantage, because you spend almost all of your time practicing from specific spots. And if she went to those specific spots, she probably would have won. She may have blown his ass out.
They might have thought he was going to have an advantage bringing it in. I mean, he can shoot from anywhere. So who's to say that he doesn't go and blow her out shooting from that? From, you know, then it would have been, oh, he's cheating. Or, you know what I mean? Because we brought him up. We brought Steph closer to the basket. Like, why would you do that?
So let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. So you said, you know, it's that you put emphasis on NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
And you said that's why. So she need to bring her ass back, right? But you ain't say bring her ass you said bring her back, right? But my question to you is this. Well, if we're going to go down that thought process, mm-hmm. then should she have shot with the NBA basketball, not a WNBA basketball, because they're different?
She shot with a WNBA basketball? That.
Say that again?
She shot with the WNBA basketball?
I'm not 100% certain, but I would be confident to say yes.
I would – listen, I think women athletes – we don't know that, so if we can find that out. But I just think that if we're doing a three-point contest, we're doing a three-point contest. And if all things are equal, and I think what the aim – part of the aim here was to show that, hey, the women are just as capable of shooting this ball as the men are from distance. And so she showed that, even being able to go out there and hit those as many as she did. Like I said, she scored the same amount on the three-point contest from the same three-point line that the men did in the men three-point contest. So she damn near could have just went in there and just competed up against all of them. You know what I mean? So
let me throw some stats at you guys.
Why give her any extra advantage or any special treatment?
There is a difference in the ball size. It's a difference of 1 inch. Our text troll said that she did use a WNBA ball. And just so you guys know, there's one other thing I did look up, which is on the corners of the court, the difference between the WNBA and the NBA three-point line is only a difference of 3 inches, but at the furthest point, it's 1 foot, 7.25 inches. Mm-hmm. So it isn't like that. Like, for instance, the corners.
Yes, it is.
Three
big,
inches?
Big difference.
For a shooter?
Big difference. Listen, listen, yeah, a quarterback, a kicker, a golfer, you move their position, their form, an inch, a half an inch can throw off everything. You take Patrick Mahomes, let's say he holds it right underneath his chin, and now you're saying drop it down to your hip or middle of your chest. It's a huge difference. This is a game of inches. We've heard that before. You're like, come on now. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
I don't know. I disagree because I just think you're able to shoot. Every 3-point shooter is not shooting right from the 3-point line. They'll shoot maybe a couple inches back. Sometimes it's right on the line. Sometimes, you know what I mean? So it's all about your shot.
So if that's the case, if that's the case, you know, let's take some, you know, you're talking about shooters, right? So mm-hmm. let's take the dudes in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Some dudes like the Dame Lillards who we watching now, he hit 2 from the half court, just flawless. The Dame Lillards, the Steph Currys of the world, right. They can shoot from there. They practice that. But then you have some other shooters that don't shoot from the logo, right? Mm-hmm. They shoot from the perimeter, from the 3-point line. Right? Like it's all about listen, just because you're a shooter, there's levels to shooting. And it's also how you practice. I think it's a big deal. I remember playing in high school. I remember playing in high school and then the first time I walked into a court or arena that had an NBA line, and it was like, I felt comfortable shooting in high school from 3. But then pulling from there, that shit felt super different. Mm-hmm. It felt super different for me. So I know it's different levels, right? Like high school, okay, cool. But this is what Sabrina does every single day. This is what Steph does every single day. But, man.
I don't think it will be all shooters. But if we're talking about the best shooter and one of the best shooters of all time, woman, her. They saying Caitlin Clark because she can also shoot from distance. You know what I mean? So it's just certain people that can actually move it back. I see what you're saying that, you know, most of the time they practice from a certain distance and stuff like that. But then you have those special ones, right, that can shoot from anywhere.
You know Steph's what we should have did? You know what we're going to do? I'm going to hit up Sydney Clawson and get her perspective. We're going to hit up some WNBA player. We're going to get their perspective. We should have did that for this conversation. I didn't know we were going to get into this debate. It was going to be, gridlocked or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need somebody to break this.
We need somebody to break this and tell us what they – somebody who's in there. Yeah, WNBA players, let us know.
Yeah, I'm going to hit up Sydney. I just text Sydney Clawson. Maybe she joined the show tomorrow. If not her, Brian, let's see if we can get another WNBA family member to jump on and have this discussion with us. This would be great because BC sees it one way and I see it another way. And Andrew, I mean, how do you see it? Maybe it's you that breaks the tie.
It's funny enough. I actually agree with BC.
Ah!
I do. Y'all know I'm a very strong woman's empowerment believer. And I think that if she did it, it was by choice. It wasn't like she wanted to have an unleveled competitive advantage or anything like that. I think that she did it because she wants to show that women could do the exact same thing that men can do.
Okay.
My opinion.
We still going to bring in Sydney.
No, let's bring her in. I'll be excited to hear.
I like it, though.
So, you know, tomorrow starts the NFL team's ability to actually start tagging players, right? So this comes from Adam Schefter.
Fuck the franchise tag. Excuse my language, but I'm going to go ahead. Finish.
But two teams are in discussions right now, Chiefs and the Bucks. Not in discussion with each other, but just putting it out that they are unlikely to franchise their top players. For the Chiefs is Chris Jones, and for the Bucks is Mike Evans. So let's actually start with Chris Jones because Micah Parsons had something very interesting to say this offseason. By saying that he needs to bring back Tony Pollard, but also get a Chris Jones level impact lineman.
Yeah.
So let's go there. Should the Cowboys break the bank for Jones if he hits the open market?
No, they shouldn't. I don't think the Cowboys are far away. Like, can you look up really quickly where the Dallas Cowboys is drafting in this 2024 NFL draft? Like, there are some dogs. Like, it's not hard to go find defensive linemen that can impact the game in a major way right away. We're seeing it. What are they picking?
They have 5 picks, but in the first, it's number 24.
24. They could potentially get a guy at the 24th spot. Like, I don't think you go break the bank because you gotta break the bank on CeeDee Lamb. You got to break the bank on Michael Parsons. You already broke the bank on Trayvon Diggs. You got to break the bank again on Dak Prescott.
Yep.
You got to break the bank on a few guys.
You think you could find a Chris Jones in the draft?
Yeah, you don't do that. I don't think that's the problem. Like, if you can get him for the right price, yes. But I would go in the draft, maybe take a shot at the first round, second round, and third round to get, the beef up over there. I think Chris Jones needs to stay his ass in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a dynasty here. This is how you become a dynasty. You got to make the right decision. So, like, if the Chiefs feel like he's on a decline and it's time to move on, he's too expensive for that age, you let him go. But, man, the continuity is important. Like, having those guys in the locker room that's been there before, championship after championship, in the trenches – like, you need, like, that's worth something. You're talking about, you have an opportunity to three-peat, to be the first team to three-peat. You pay Chris Jones. Chris Jones don't need to go to be thinking about the Dallas Cowboys.
For real.
Dallas Cowboys shouldn't even have a chance to talk to Chris Jones. Kansas mm-hmm. City Chiefs, we want to see a three-peat. My generation, I want to be sitting in the Super Bowl next year with my boys saying, sons, this is the first time that the NFL has ever seen a three-peat. What is a three-peat, Daddy? They won the Super Bowl 3 times in a row, son. Z, what do you mean? Three-peat.
What's gonna happen?
Three-peat.
Just checking.
That's what I want to see. And how you do that is you keep Chris Jones. You pay the man. It's worth it. Even if the last year or 2 years on this deal that you give him, he's on a decline. It's worth it. You've done something that's never been done before. And you solidify your dynasty. You keep him. Continuity is critical. You can go get a kid in there that might have more sacks than the Chris Jones. His production is higher than Chris Jones, but he don't have that championship mindset. He doesn't know what Andy Reid is thinking or Patrick Mahomes is thinking. He doesn't know how to maneuver throughout the day-to-day, which is critical. Keep Chris Jones.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I love my scenarios. What does Chris Jones do? You just lost a wild card game to Houston. What's the first thing he does? If that's how his season ends next year.
Chris Jones?
Yeah. They just lost the wild card game. They know they can't do a three-peat. What's the very next thing Chris Jones starts thinking?
Nothing. He's locked in. He has a contract. They probably give him a 3-year deal or something.
I'm thinking more like a 1 to 2 year deal right now.
No. How old is Chris Jones?
Let's see.
What year is he? And give me his stats. Let's pull up his stats as well. Let's pull up his age and let's pull up his stats. Let's go through. Let's see if he's on a decline.
He might be okay.
How old is he?
29.
He's 29. Okay.
He is. He's going into his ninth year.
He's going into his ninth year. Give the man a 3-year deal. Give him a 3-year deal. How many sacks did he have last year? Remember, he started off late. He ain't go to camp, right? He was holdout. So
10.5.
He had 10.5 sacks. at the time.
One of his best years.
What are we talking about? Yeah. What are we talking about?
I just love scenarios. That's all.
Pay the man. What's his name? Veach. What's his name? The general manager for the Chiefs. Veach.
Pay him.
Brett Veach.
Pay him. I do not want Chris Jones in South Florida come July. He was in South Florida in July. I was having dinner next to him in Carbone, and then another night ZZ's. Like, I didn't want to see him. I saw him too much in July.
Yeah, you didn't
in South Florida. He should have been in Kansas City. He should have been in boring ass Kansas City. That's where he needs to be this July. I do not want to see another Chris Jones holdout. I do not want to see him franchise tagged. I do not want to see him in another uniform. I want to be in a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 55, with Z, Ziggy, and Zoe saying, son, we're about to witness a three-peat. What is a three-peat? Bam! You know what a three-peat is. You're too smart.
All three of them?
You're at American Heritage. I pay $100,000 a year for y'all education. Bam! Three-peat. Look it up. Google it. Do y'all not know Google? They not teach y'all that yet.
Be hit them with your own three-peat.
Chris Jones, stay in Kansas City, bro.
I ain't gonna lie, B, I love the passion, but I don't know where you about to go with this next question, bro.
Okay.
Because this is a brother of the show.
Okay.
We got Mike Evans.
Okay.
Right? Top receiver, 1,000 yards a year. Him. All right? So same scenario. You know, the names are going out. So which contender, it says here Super Bowl contender, but who knows? Super Bowl contender needs to take Evans from the Bucks.
All right. Can you do me a favor? Can you look up his last contract, Mike Evans' last contract?
Last contract? Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the question is, what Super Bowl contender? Because now the NFL franchise tags, it's open today. They can start franchise tagging people, which fuck the franchise tag. Did I say that? Yes, I'm saying that. All right. SiriusXM Faction Talk Channel 103, Brandon Marshall Hill, Andrew out west, and we got BC in the booth. My dog's having this conversation with me. This conversation has transitioned into these players that could get tagged, right? We just talked about Chris Jones. Now we're talking about Mike Evans. Mike Evans, wide receiver, 10 years in a row, over 1,000 yards. He is walking into the Hall of Fame. He may be first ballot just because of that feat there, okay? What will he do? Where should he go, okay? Mike Evans. See, now this is a situation, it's a very unique one because he won a Super Bowl. Remember, Brady leaves New England, he goes down to Tampa. In year one, he wins a Super Bowl, okay? He has the stats. He's Hall of Fame solidified. Now all he can do is add to his Hall of Fame career. I'm saying that because now it's about, now he could be thinking just, let me secure my kids' kids. Future. You understand?
Yep.
Because as a player, that's what you want to do. Check off the box. Like, Super Bowl, check. Individual accolades, check. Money, check. So what was his last contract?
5 years, $82.5 million.
Okay, 5 years, $82.5 million. So he could potentially go out there and get another, 20, 25, maybe even more a year for a couple of years.
For sure.
That might be his number one priority, right? Like, you got to think about it. Like, as you sit down in this situation as a player, you got to say, all right, what's important to me? What are my priorities? Winning? Okay. Individual accolades, stats? Okay. Payday? Okay. Like, you got it. Lifestyle, living situation? Okay. Those are the four things that you're looking at. So if I'm him, I'm thinking about paper and I'm thinking about stats. If I'm him, like I ain't compromising on those two. Paper and stats. I already won a Super Bowl. If I'm him, I'm thinking about how do I expand on these 10 years over 1,000 yards a year? Like I want to make sure everybody know when I lead this game that I was one of the best. So where can he get that done? Obviously, he can get it done in Tampa because he's done that with multiple quarterbacks. So he can stay in Tampa. That's an option. Okay, we got that out the way. But now the question was contender. Now these contenders may have the money. Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills.
Those are your two?
Those are the two. And I say the Chiefs in his heart because the Chiefs don't have to make this move. They don't have to make this move. But dang, you are in an interesting place right now. Man, y'all could three-peat. Man, y'all could really dominate for the next couple years. And you got to go out there and make moves like this. The Patriots did. The Patriots went and got Randy Moss, but they got him on a little bit of a discount out of Oakland. That's when the Raiders was in Oakland. But they went and got a big-name wide receiver, and look what he did. Had like 19 touchdowns in 1 year. Freaking almost broke all these records. Unbelievable addition. So what are the Chiefs going to do? Are you going to go into the draft to go get that pass catcher that you need? Travis Kelce's getting a little older, but he still is efficient and still a dog. But you need that guy? Or you can go in the draft, or you can go get someone like Mike Evans?
So I wanted to throw two suggestions out there. One being from Brian, our text troll. After T. Higgins leaves Cincy, Evans goes to Cincy. My suggestion would be Detroit. Any thoughts on that?
Money. No, Detroit's about to pay you know, their boy Brown. Amon St. Brown. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Amon Ra St. Brown.
Amon Ra St. Brown. Sorry, youngin. Amon Ra St. Brown. I chopped up my teammate's name, bro. All right. Forgive me.
It's how it goes.
What's your name, buddy? I scored last year, OG. I mean, I scored last week, OG. B, like, oh, I don't know, bro. What's your name? Yeah. I know your number.
What about Cincy then?
I don't like it. Stay in Tampa with Baker Mayfield. Y'all got a nice connection. You're in a weak division. Let's see what y'all can do. Todd Bowles leading the way. But, man, the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs.
I like the Chiefs.
The Chiefs would be dope.
They don't need to get complacent. They need to just go out there, like you said. Stack them up. Go get them boys, especially Mike Evans. He's a vet. Mm-hmm. You go out there and you line him up out there, and then you got Kelce. Now you got, oh, man, nah.
I like the Bills.
Mahomes is going to be crazy. Nah, I don't like the Bills.
Why do you don't like the Bills? I like the Bills. You don't know what's going on. Stephon Diggs is probably out of there.
Yeah.
That's a spot. So now, look, think about it. So what did I say? The top two things. There's four things he should be thinking about. Winning, payday, individual statistics, and livelihood, like lifestyle, like living arrangement. And I think he needs to prioritize statistics and payday. Him. So he'll get paid in Buffalo, and he'll probably eat. See, he might go over 1,500 yards with Josh Allen.
Yeah, or
Josh
Patrick
like to throw
Holmes.
It deep. He like to go deep. Pause.
Hey, so I want to get some wide receiver insight real quick. He has a ring. He has nothing left to prove. 10 seasons in a row, 1,000 yards, but he's still 4 seasons behind getting the record from Jerry. And as a wide receiver, how important is that record to him?
Say that one more time.
So Mike Evans is fully accomplished. He got a chip. You say he's literally walking in the Hall of Fame, 10 seasons in a row, 1,000 yards, but he's still 4 seasons behind Jerry Rice's 14 seasons of 1,000 yards each season. How important is that to him?
Well, we had him on the show. We had him on the show, and maybe we run that clip later or tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, we can run that clip of him talking about it. It's one of those things, man. 4 years is a long time, bro. I only played 13 years, and not all 13 was at a high level.
Yeah.
My first year in the league wasn't at a high level, and my last 2 years in the league wasn't at a high level. Okay. So you're talking about something that is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the few guys that's been blessed enough to play 13 years. So I think, you know, once you get to 12, then it's like, oh, this is close. Like, you see it.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
You feel it. You shoot for it. But it ain't like you're not disappointed if you don't get it because you understand, bam, playing 14 years is a goal for most people.
Yeah.
And then you're asking to play high level for 14 years? So I think for him, it's just head down. He's that type of guy. Look, I definitely want my 1,000 yards, but I can only control what I can control. And I think he talked about that. And I believe him because some guys say the right things, But deep down, they're like, no, I want that 14 years in a row. I want to pass Jerry Rice. And that. For him, I really think that's why he's so successful, is that he has his head down, and whatever happens, happens. He controls what he can control, mm-hmm. right? But as a competitor, you feel it. You feel the space. You understand what's going on. Okay, Jerry Rice is right there. I'm about to pass this guy. Like, you understand those things. You understand those things. We'll see, man. We'll see.
I got you. BC.
Yep.
Have you ever sold a house?
Yeah.
B, you sold a house before, right?
I sold a couple houses. I didn't win on all of them, too. Like, damn. Shit. Hey. I bought a $4 million crib. We don't talk about it later. I'm still.
No. Well, the reason I bring it up is because I want to know, as a former NFL athlete, what does it mean to your team if you sell your house?
Sell your house?
Does it mean anything?
As a former athlete, what does it mean when you sell your house?
And you're still on the team and everything? Does it mean anything?
Oh, it's over with. Yeah, Jay Cutler, 2009, 10, Josh McDaniels comes in, and he wants to trade for Matt Castle. Jay Cutler gets wind of it. The very next day, we're in the locker room. All we hear is, Jay just put his house on the market. Ryan Clady sitting next to me. Eddie Royal sitting next to me. Brandon Stokely sitting next to me. Like, what? He put his what? What does this mean? We're young at the time. Mm-hmm. Brandon Stokely looks around and said, guys, that means it's out. It's over.
It's time to move on.
What does it mean? Why? What's happening?
Well, apparently in Denver, Russ put his house up for sale, his mansion.
This just came out.
And, you know, we know what happened this past season with Russ and Sean Payton, that is, Coach Payton, and just the whole Denver experience. So, like, being that you're so close with him, right, you're close with Russ, what do you think he wants the most out of this next offseason? Or this current offseason, I should say.
Listen, I know what Russ wants, and I'm not going to divulge everything. You know, you want to protect your brother's relationships, and there's some things that I just can't disclose. But what I can tell you is Russ wants to win. Russ wants to go down as legendary. He still has his hopes and his thoughts, his desires there, right? Like, you know, you look at his first 10 years. We talk about Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not even comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, but his start. Look at Russ's start through 10 years. Compare mm-hmm. him to the greats. And so Russ knows he's in a position right now where the narrative is not where he wants it to be. And so the only way for him to change that is to go into a situation where he can win, and he can win at a high level. And we're not talking about just making it to playoffs. Russ is thinking about, I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to win multiple Super Bowls. I want to play another 5, 6, 7 years. That's where his mind's at. And you got to look at the situation, right? Like, there's things coming out around Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets, and this stuff is coming out. It's like, it's not great stuff, right? If he wasn't – long story short, if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' guy, he probably would have been fired mid-season.
Facts.
Okay? That was the head coach, Russ's head coach in Denver. So think about that. Like, that matters, right? Like, yes, we can go out there and we can talk about Russ all we want, and a lot of people have done that. I am here, and I'm always going to be here to not take the player's side, because sometimes you got to tell a player you're fucking wrong. Sometimes mm-hmm. you got to tell a player mm-hmm. it's time to hang them up, right? But we do so much of that on ESPN, on FS1, and we're not telling the whole story. And sometimes the story is the coach sucked. The coach couldn't get it done. The general manager didn't put the right pieces around, right? That's the story sometimes.
It matters.
And so I think you got to account for that. His first year in Denver, you had Nathaniel Hackett, and he wasn't good. This is a guy that is supposed to be a really good offensive coordinator, but he probably would have been fired if he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Friends with Aaron Rodgers.
There you go. And so then you go through the next year, right? Like, the defense and the fumbles and all these other things. I mean, the guy almost he had almost 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, right?
But having a great year. Don't you think that he should have had a better year with Sean Payton?
Yeah, you could say that, but now we got to talk fit. Yeah. Like, I always think that a coach would adjust to the players that he has. Like, we've seen this so many times when we're trying to – a coach would adjust to the players that he have.
Not the other way around.
No, you can't. The player is the player. Like, you can't make Ja Morant into Steph Curry.
I see what you're saying.
Into, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Different guys.
So you conform to their skill sets.
Right. Like, no, mm-hmm. this player is talent. That's the talent. That's the fucking talent. Wow. We've never seen this before. It's magical.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that player in position. How do we get everything out of this magic, right? So you would think that, but we've seen it so many times where we try to force guys into different philosophies and different concepts, and 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. Or even if it doesn't work, you're not getting all that you can get out of that guy, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about Sean Payton, like, I don't see Russ in that type of offense. And listen, Russ and I haven't had this type of conversation, but hopefully Russ didn't see himself as a 1-2-3, let the ball go. 1-2-3-4-5, let me go, let the ball go. Boom, boom, boom. It's robotic. It's robotic. I was in that offense. I think Russ needs to be more in that type of Shanahan-type offense, Gary Kubiak-type offense, Stefanski-type offense. That's the type of offense I think Russ needs to be in. I think he needs to run more tempo offense, more no huddle offense. You got to let him go. You have a strong run game, defense. We've seen that model already work in Seattle, so we know that's a blueprint that works for him. But also for him, just as an offensive guy, like, Russ is really good when you just give him the ball and you just let him go. That's where the whole let me cook thing came in.
Yeah.
That's where that came in Seattle, and where it went wrong is – it was the year before his last year in Seattle. He was actually leading the MVP race. And then he, for 3 games, he threw a couple interceptions. 2 interceptions, 3 interceptions, 3 interceptions. And that's when Pete Carroll brought it back, right? He said, okay, no, we can't let you cook no more, right? But, man, this kid is really good when you just give him the ball and you let him go. You let him go. So I would like to see him in an offense like that. I would like to see him in an offense where he has a strong running game. That's what I like to see. And just let him go and see what happens.
So let's stay in Denver then. You're Sean Payton. You need a QB. Who's your QB that's going to make you a playoff contender? You have names like Cousins. You have names like Fields out there. Like, who is his next Drew Brees?
I got to be honest here. And I like Sean Payton. He's my type of guy. You know, Bill Parcells brought me down to the Miami Dolphins. My type of guy was his type of guy. You know, they going to tell it how it is. They're tough. And if you're their guy, you're their guy. They take care of you. If you're not, the hell with you. That's how they operate. But I got to be honest. Drew Brees ain't walking back in that door. Just like, yep. I talk about Aaron Rodgers and how Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they underperformed. That was a waste. 16 years in Green Bay and you got one Super Bowl out of Aaron Rodgers? What are we doing? And it's the same thing with Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. One?
That was crazy.
One? And then it's the same story. Like, think about it. Regular season, 11 wins, 12 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins. You get in. And then what happens? Nothing. So unless he has, like, Joe Burrow, unless he has a quarterback like that, a C.J. Stroud, I don't see it happening for him. I'm going to be honest. Justin Fields, doesn't matter. Caleb Williams, doesn't matter. And they're not in a perfect position to get either. Like, any of these guys.
No, you're right about that. But let's do this.
So
guys.
So basically what I'm saying, because I want to be honest here, sorry.
No, do you think?
I don't think Sean Payton's going to get it done in Denver. I don't.
At all.
I don't think he's going to get it done. I think in about 2 years, there's going to be a change in Denver. That's what I believe.
I want to disagree because I feel like Denver invests in their team, but I just looked up his Super Bowl. It wasn't since 2009, so that's even older than Aaron Rodgers.
He's not changing his offense. He's not going to adjust. He's not going to adjust. If I'm being honest, you know the best thing that can happen for Peyton Manning at the quarterback, for Sean Payton at the quarterback position, then we could potentially talk. And this is going to sound really crazy. You go get Teddy Bridgewater. That's what you do. Now, Teddy just took the head coaching job at his school, his high school school, his alma mater down here in South Florida. You better go convince him because his offense, like how he operates. I was there, bro, like from the meeting room to the practice to the walkthroughs. It's like it's really different. You got to have a guy that you're connected with. Justin Fields, like how you get Justin Fields there? How do you get one of these younger quarterbacks there? Like Kirk Cousins maybe got that type of like over analytical, you know, process. Like they're all process driven. You got to think about Drew Brees, like coach, this is, was an inch off. This is how coaching in practice. It's like, bro, you got to get the right guy. Teddy, the reason why I say Teddy Bridgewater, and I know that people going to look at me like, damn, what is Brandon talking about? Bro, Teddy Bridgewater went 6-0. Drew Brees go down. I think he went 6-0 or 6-1 when he took over there. Familiarity.
Who was the backup quarterback for
Taysom Hill?
No, the Cowboys.
Oh, I don't know.
He had a similar record for like
Rush or something?
Yeah, Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Haven't heard his name since.
I know a little football. But listen, I would convince Teddy Bridgewater to come out of retirement. I would go get him, sign him up, and then I would, you know, figure out who going to be that guy, that long-term guy. That's the only way I see this working with Coach Payton in Denver. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I believe you. By the way, shout out to Northwest. That's his Teddy Bridgewater's high school. As a guy who went to Miami Norland, it was a lot of football games that went back and forth. Did you guys know today was President's Day? If you didn't look at your calendar,
this is a big holiday. This is a big deal for America.
Big holiday.
But I'm gonna be honest with you. Last night I was driving back from the airport. It's 11 at night. And the driver's like, yes, tomorrow's a holiday because we were talking about another flight out today. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, it shouldn't be too busy because of the holiday. So I didn't really know. I was like, oh, what's the holiday? Yeah. He said President's Day. I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool holiday, bro.
People only know that.
Brandon, the reason why we're bringing it. Oh, sorry, BC, were you saying something?
No, I think people only know that because they get off work or something like that. Like,
yeah, right?
Nobody really be tracking President's Day. But
nah. But the reason I bring it up is because we all know the Mount Rushmore. B, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's only enough space for four heads on your Mount Rushmore. Mm. Not like, oh, we're gonna build one off on the side, it's gonna be a little smaller. Four. Right? So we're gonna start with the NFL. We wanna know who are the four players on Brandon's all time football Mount Rushmore.
Mm.
All time.
All right.
You only got so much rock.
This is difficult.
I'm trying to like.
Four. I got you. All right, watch what I do. I'm going to be very concise. Is concise a word? Precise? Yes. Concise?
Strategical.
Strategical. He's very strategical. Shannon said that earlier. Mount Rushmore. So when we say Mount Rushmore, we're talking about the best. The best. And this is very difficult. We're talking about the NFL. Every year, there's 1,500 to 1,700 players that participate in this amazing game. And it's been here for what? Over 100 years?
I'll double check the stats on it.
No. Well, the Super Bowl era is 54, so I said over 100 years. I need to know the history.
Well, they started in Canton, Ohio in 1920, but the Super Bowl didn't come along to the 60s.
All right, cool. So I was close.
You was close.
I'm trying to tell the story, get people drawn in, draw in. Walk with me along this journey as I get to my Mount Rushmore. They started football in Canton, Ohio in 1920. The Super Bowl era started in the 60s. We just celebrated and participated in Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes does it again. Puts himself in position to be the GOAT. Puts himself in position to do something that's never been done before. And that's win three in a row. Shut up, Z and Ziggy. Don't ask me what a three-peat is. I pay $100,000 a year for education. Put it together. Super Bowl 54. All these amazing players have come and gone. We're talking about Reggie White.
Oh, love some Reggie White.
Dick Buckus.
The worst name.
Joe Montana. Yeah.
The worst name.
The Ray Lewis's of the world. The LTs of the world. Be quiet. Be quiet. I'm on my, what is this called? A monologue?
You're on your diatribe. Yes.
What? Quiet
the
in the studio.
You're having a monologue. I'm sorry. BC got me.
Ray Lewis, Peyton Manning. How the hell are they going to ask me for four? Four. So you know what I've did? You know what I did? I sat down. I said, Brandon, be specific. Be intentional. You can do this. Tom Brady. Of course, Tom Brady is an easy one, right? I'm going to start with the easiest
of
all.
Start with the GOAT.
Seven-time Super Bowl champion. We may never see this again. Ever. 20 how many years? Tom Brady.
20-something.
Seven-time Super Bowl champion. Mm. Put him on the Mount Rushmore. Give him the biggest and the best space. The second. We may never see this again before. Ever. He owns all of the major categories statistically in the receiving vertical. And that is Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice. I know for some out there, they say, well, Randy Moss is my GOAT. This person. Jerry Rice, 19 years. Owns almost every single major category at the wide receiver position. You deserve a spot on Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
Please don't push back on me. This is one that's going to create some debate. And we've seen people do this and maybe even do it, be more productive. But no one's done it with this type of flair and this type of style. We're talking about the best, considered the best at the position. Take the numbers out of it. No, it's not Walter Payton. No, it's not Jim Brown. The third position on my Mount Rushmore is Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders. Right. Come on, man.
Let's
come
go, Barry.
On. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have done it, but not like this.
Not like that.
Not like this, boy. What? What? You kidding me?
Yeah.
And last but not least, certainly not least, because this young man here, new era, new era. This young man right here. The best start to an NFL career ever. If this man can stay healthy, if those great people in Kansas City can do their job and surround him with the right players and potentially coaches, because this coach is about to turn 70 in a couple years, old ass, he could potentially be the only person to catch Tom Brady. And that is, folks, Patrick Mahomes. And that is, folks, my Mount Rushmore. Tom Brady, seven-time Super Bowl champ. It's never been done before. The second person that's closest to him has four. Has four. Jerry Rice. Do we need to debate it? Jerry Rice. The man that said, I never took a vacation until I retired, which is a lie. But I like the story, Jerry. Barry Sanders. Where he go? Where he go?
What was that?
MVP. Heisman Trophy. All the way to an MVP.
That was the sounds he was
talking
making.
About. Hall of Famer. And last, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I know. Well, Brandon, what about LT? Well, Brandon, yeah. Deion Sanders, Ray Lewis. Da, 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 da. Hey, folks. If you create your own show, do your own Mount Rushmore. That's my Mount Rushmore. See you later.
I got a little pushback.
And it's only, my goodness. It's gotta be you.
It's only because I thought you were going somewhere else with your last pick.
Where you thought I was going?
Well, because look at the team. You got a great quarterback. You had a great receiver. You had a great running back. So I was like, oh, he's building a team.
Uh-huh.
And then when you said new era, you killed me when you said Chiefs. Because then I was like, he's not going to say Chris Jones. Aaron Donald.
Oh, listen.
I thought you
wanted
to say
what I wanted to do, but it wouldn't have been right. Like, my hero when it comes to football is Barry Sanders. And you just turn the film, you got to see it. You put Barry Sanders with the Dallas Cowboys, man. Ooh, my lights. Game over. Yo. Don't even show up. I was going to do a Tom Brady and a Jerry Rice old school, and then I was going to do new school. My new school era would have been Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Donald. But y'all only said four.
Which I commend you on for giving us only four. I appreciate that.
There you go. So those are my four. And I stand on that. We standing on Benny. And what everybody's saying right now, we standing on Benny.
Just standing on business about to ruin our community.
Clip that. Clip that, Jazz. Clip that, Shelly. Clip that, Omari. Clip that.
Man,
and then let's create a poll.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Or let's create a graphic for everybody else to repost theirs. We're going to do that.
Can we get the opinion of the people on this Mount Rushmore, please?
While we're in this mood, let's go to basketball, Mount Rushmore.
Let's just do it.
Let's go right there. Let's go right there. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do it. Same question applies. All-time NBA Mount Rushmore.
We going to do it? Let me see. Where were we supposed to go? We were supposed to go to, some culture talk. Ooh, Donald Trump. We talking Donald Trump on paper route? No, we tease. It's called a tease. Little tease.
Just whisper it. Donald Trump. Whisper it.
And then we talking some young thugs at Turney. What the hell happened? This is the longest case ever. All right, BC, get us teed up there. Okay. Now we go to Mount Rushmore. All-time NBA. This is Brandon Marshall on Faction Talk. Series XM, Channel 103. Mount Rushmore of the NFL. The best of the best. The best to ever grace. Low cut green grass in America. St. Augustine grass? Nope.
Kentucky blue. I've been looking at a lot of grass lately.
Why?
I'll tell y'all off air. Looking at a lot of grass lately.
A lot of grass. What kind of grass?
Yard.
You look like
yard
a smoker.
Grass. Oh, yeah. Your boy already a chief.
How many more minutes do we have left in this show?
I'm a chief. We got a little over 25.
25 minutes. NBA Mount Rushmore.
Who you got, B?
You promised to keep it to four again, B?
I'm going to keep it to four, but I also want to hear BC's as well. So, BC, as I go through mine, make sure you get yours down, okay?
Okay.
All right. Should I start with – I guess I'll go in the same order, right? Like Tom Brady was a no-brainer. Okay. In the NBA, who's a no-brainer? Who's a no-brainer, Bianca? Y'all can't hear her mic, but who's a no-brainer?
For NBA?
Yes. Michael Jordan. You see, Bianca, she plays lacrosse and she's from Puerto Rico.
Default answer.
Right. And she listens to rock and roll music. Like, what? I mean, some of these damn
concerts. I can ask my 2-year-old niece.
What was the last concert you went to or live show?
When We Were Young Fest, Punk Rock Festival.
What was it called?
When
We Were Young Fest. What the hell is that? So I'm saying that because what does she know about the NBA? And the first thing off her tongue is Michael Jordan. She puts Michael Jordan on the Mount Rushmore of the NBA, the best of the best. Is there a debate there? He is.
Yes.
He was, I should say. 6-0 in the finals. There's no debate there.
None at all.
But I'm going to start a debate here. There's going to be a lot of people say, Brandon don't know what he's talking about in basketball. What does he know? He played in the NFL. Number two. It can be a debate, but it's not really. LeBron James, all-time leader in every major category, statistical category. LeBron James. I'm sorry, folks. He's done it at a high level. He's 39, still scoring 39 points when he wants to. Mm-hmm. Didn't he just score 61 this year or something crazy?
No.
I'm 39 doing 39.
What did he have? Oh, he just dropped 45 pieces. It was just a little
40 or something.
Oh, nothing too crazy?
Yeah, nothing too crazy.
It's not crazy, but I'm not crazy for putting him on the Mount Rushmore, am I, BC? Oh, my seed. I'll wait for him.
Come on.
I seen the look in his eyes. He looked like he wanted to push back, but you got to wait your turn now. I tried to tee you up to support me, but you did not want to support me. So we have MJ all the way from our Puerto Rican lacrosse player. She plays on the Puerto Rican national team, Bianca. She says, put MJ there first. And then I come back around and say LeBron James. So you got MJ 6-0 in the NBA Finals. That's unheard of. And then you have LeBron James, all-time leader in every major category, and he's still going. The third is going to be huge debate. But we've never seen this before. We didn't see this type of player before he got into the NBA. And we ain't seen this player since. Since the most dominant player in the NBA ever. Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq. Yes.
Shaq.
Let's go.
Shaq. Well, the big. He's not even the best big. Man, ain't nobody played a game like Shaquille O'Neal. Stop it. I saw what Mad Dog said about Shaq talking about, well, why would the Magic retire his jersey? Because they just retired his jersey.
Yeah, you feel me?
And so this is his third team retiring his jersey. This is the third team retiring his jersey. Okay, so that's even legendary in itself. He's like, wow, they didn't win anything in Orlando, and he left to go to the Lakers and left them in a terrible position. No, I was there in Orlando, living on Orlando when he was playing in Orlando when Anthony Hardaway and Dennis Scott and Nick Anderson and Horace Grant, Shaquille O'Neal is him. It's him, and he deserves it. Huge spot on Mount Rushmore. And then my last, not least, there's never been in any sport. I mean, maybe Tiger, maybe Serena Williams is close to his level from a mindset standpoint, from a competitor standpoint. You've never seen a competitor like this in the NBA ever. And you may never will. Let me tell you this story about this guy that's going on Mount Rushmore. One day,
he had
an okay game. It wasn't a bad game. It was probably a great game for 95% of everybody in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. I know who this is.
No, you don't. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. He has a late game. Missed a shot or two. Didn't like the results. Okay, Andrew? Mm-hmm. You know what he did? He stayed. Everybody's gone. The lights are out. The lights are out. It's midnight. The security guard comes out and says, who is this? I hear a ball. Boom, the bloom, the bloom, the bloom. It's Kobe Bean Bryant.
You was there shooting.
He was Kobe Bean
shooting
Bryant.
In the gym.
He was right there. Like, nobody is, what? He is, they say he's the closest thing to MJ. So if he's the closest thing to MJ and MJ is the GOAT, why wouldn't he be on Mount Rushmore?
That I ain't gonna lie, I respect your Mount Rushmore, bro.
What? That might be the greatest Mount Rushmore ever because it's the realest. It's the realest.
I'm so glad you have Shaq on that Mount Rushmore, bro. Because I think people have been disrespecting him and what he did in the early half of his career, bro.
Man, Shaq is... But you got to think, we've never seen anybody that dominant before.
Closest, not dominance, but like we had a lot of hope for Dwight, right? We had a lot of hope for Dwight.
Why is Dwight?
He was like the fit Shaq.
Why is Dwight? Let's move on. You putting Dwight, you messing up the whole conversation by putting Dwight.
Man, no
Dwight's in Taiwan right now. He's in Taiwan.
He's trying to start his own team.
He's in Taiwan.
He's in Taiwan.
He's trying to start his own team.
BC, any pushback on my Mount Rushmore because.
Your Mount Rushmore is solid. It's solid.
You think I'm gonna catch?
Would you change anybody?
Let's hear yours. That's gonna be the change.
I mean, Michael, obviously. Shaq.
Hold on. Are you giving us your list, or are you saying what you?
I'm giving you mine as well.
Okay.
You got Will, Julius. Yeah, I mean Will. Like, come on, don't miss.
Nah, Magic got to go on there.
Magic.
Yeah, Magic got to go on there. So I'm gonna do MJ. Magic. Ooh.
Yeah.
Give us some background, how B was doing.
I mean, MJ's obvious.
Yeah. You don't have to do that one.
Magic Johnson is like, you know, when he came in, the things that he was, I mean, he's magic. What he was doing with that ball.
Buttery smooth.
Yeah, and just his game at the time, Showtime. Like, nah, Magic Johnson, greatest point guard. Being a big, because he was big enough to be a forward and actually was being a point guard out here just flinging the ball around. That's where the LBJ comparisons come from. Then I would go for my big man. Damn, yeah, you got Wilt and all these guys. But I will go with Shaq too. I will go with Shaq too, and then Kobe.
Okay, so only one person. You just didn't include LeBron.
Yeah, I just didn't include LeBron, and that sounds crazy because LeBron, no matter whatever, is like, yeah, the greatest. Like, he's not the greatest, but he's right there with the greatest. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Like, it's hard to take him off, but it's hard to discount what Magic was to the game. Michael, Kobe, and then just everything that B said about Shaq, man, just most dominant big man ever. Like, you're not going to show me. Yeah, he couldn't shoot the ball. You could argue Olajuwon. You could argue, you know, Wilt. But, yeah, no. For the center position, Shaq.
Absolutely.
All day long. Domination.
My only pushback on please don't come for me, guys. My only pushback on Kobe is that he's so much like MJ. Then you already have LeBron there. It's like you having too many guards. And granted, this is another guard, but his game is so different, which I would probably give consideration to exchanging Kobe for Allen. Probably. Kobe.
For Allen what?
Iverson.
You know what?
And what he brought to the game.
You know what's crazy is?
That's crazy.
I mean, I know it is.
So it's crazy.
AI crossed my mind, but
that's exactly what I was going to say, BC.
You know, I don't think that you can't really kind of put him on the Rushmore. He never actually won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what he did, bro, he went against Shaq in the finals. Yeah. And he was like 6-1.
No, we know. Yeah. Go ahead. Tell it.
You get what I'm saying? He crossed up MJ.
That's right.
He created style and swag before the game.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Like, it's just a lot of stuff to just not even mention him is what I'm saying.
I know. It's crazy because, like, you should have the thought that BC and I had because I had the same thought. But then you say, okay, no, I'm going to go the other way because there's, you know what I'm saying? There's so many people that we've also missed.
Mm-hmm.
But it crossed my mind, too. Literally just sitting here listening to BC and I'm like, yo, I could see – an Allen Iverson, a argument for Allen Iverson, but it'll be a hard argument.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because when I think about, like, the best of the best, I'm thinking about guys that changed the position or changed the game.
Game, right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's definitely on that top influential Mount Rushmore.
For sure.
We're just talking about influencing game. Like, he's there. Like, Allen Iverson, you there. He fought for all this right now, what's going on, all this walkway, everybody wearing the swag and all that. Like, he ushered all of that in. But if we just talking about on the court and winners and stuff like that, then he barely misses it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if we had to go with a small guy, it would probably be Steph ahead of AI just if we're if we're just going off those metrics.
The last thing I want to add to this, and I think this is just – What do you call it when you're just being respectful to your elders?
Deference is like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's say deference, right? So Shaq himself said that he was actually the fourth best center behind Kareem, Wilt, Russell, and then it would be Shaq. So like
Kareem,
Wilt, Russell. And Russell. Do you believe that or do you think he's just being kind to his...
Go ahead, BC.
Yeah, no. I think he's being respectful. I think he's just being respectful as, you know, having the OGs and just having that respect for the guys who paved the way for him. Shaq comes from a different era, but in his mind, he thinks that he's the best center. Like, he knows that if he was playing in those eras with his size, they wouldn't even have been able to fuck with him.
Bro, it would have been nasty work.
You know what I'm saying?
It would have been such nasty work. Kareem?
Nah, Kareem was... you know what?
Kareem wouldn't even have 100 pounds on
Kareem
him.
Kareem has
like
an argument, though, man. That hook, unblockable, unbeatable. Like,
that
Kareem
is fact.
Kareem has a valid argument of being on that Mount Rushmore, for sure. Like,
it almost comes down to who scores, like, who misses the most, right? Because Kareem would have the untouchable, and Shaq would just dominate him if he just wanted to dunk every single time in the hole. So it's like, it just really comes down to like who's going to lose the ball the most or whatever.
Right.
But guys, as you all know, I Am Athlete is partnering with Mobile One for our Behind the Drive series. And our latest guest is one of the elite receivers in the NFL. And he is about to be paid like one. Here's a little taste of our conversation with T. Higgins.
How long is this one?
You know, behind my drive on game day, you know, for me, it's wake up in the morning at the team hotel, you know, drive back home. You know, sometimes I, you know, go back to sleep, take a nap. I have a routine on game day. What I do, you know, I wake up. I just like to relax and not really communicate with a lot of people that I don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Going to the stadium, like, for the game, I'm pumping that music. Like, I'm getting in that mode. You know what I'm saying? That one type music to just put you in that zone. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't able to do that. So me thinking, like, the whole time, like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be in this zone when I get to the stadium, this and that. And sure enough, just so happened to go off. And then one of the guys left their phone in the car, so I had to stop what I was doing then, come back out, you know, obviously get that situated. But, yeah, just threw everything off.
That was you? Was that your phone?
That was Ingram.
Damn, Ingram. Yeah,
good game. Sure did.
That's sure.
You know, sometimes it's a little baby, Skilla baby, YTB Fat, guys in that area. Their music is like, it's kind of like, most of their music is like up tempo, and you know what I'm saying, get you by your head like this. So you, and you know, when you start doing this, you know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? This is exact route I go. So I'm turning right here, like, yeah, oh. I'm singing, I'm listening to my music, feel good, bro. You know what I'm saying? And by the time I get to the stadium, I get out looking good, feeling good, get the pictures right, get in there, get dressed, then I go do my little routine. Like before, I could do tennis balls before everybody even go out. So it's crazy though, because you know a lot of guys listen to music while they warming up. I don't have earphones, you know? I just listen to the outside noise. I don't know why I'm like that, but like, music distracts me when I'm warming up. Now, I'm cool with listening to the sounds around, like, outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm outside, and for some reason, I get in that mode. Like, I don't hear nothing, but I hear it. Like, all I hear is the nature. You know what I'm saying? I don't hear no fans, nothing. Fans saying, T, like. But it's like I don't even hear them. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I don't know. I just lock in. And that's how I am on the field. Like, during the game, like, guys be talking trash. In one way, out the other. Like, I'm not worried about y'all. I'm worried about what I'm doing on the field. The fan base here, man, it feel like on home games, bro. It feel like college, bro. It feel like a college game day, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, I'm going to miss that, you know. And I feel like, you know, this is my first home in the league. I'm not going to lie, bro. It's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, this could be my last time, you know, putting in my code, you know, pulling up to the stadium. Turning in this iPad, man, it's crazy. Think about it, honestly, because, you know, obviously when you get drafted somewhere as a rookie, you think you're going to be there your whole career. I mean, that's just how it is. Like, you think that's where you're going to be at. But, man, now this time has come that, like, I don't know where my next stop is or if I'll be here. It's crazy, bro. Like, I don't even know what to think. You know what I'm saying? Like, this could be really the last time I walk in here.
Man, guys, such a great and emotional story there. So make sure you make sure if you want to watch the full video, not just hear it, to go onto the I Am Athlete YouTube page and catch more of our Mobile One Behind the Drive series. Oh, actually, B, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your impressions of T? Because you actually teased this for a couple weeks leading up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let us know a little bit more.
Love T. You know, there's a few people, I mean, as a person, his story is his story, but it's not a unique story. We're talking about a guy, like, in the first installment of this, asked him, you know, a little bit about, like, some of his tough times growing up. And he was like, man, his mom living in a halfway house, going to visit. She asking if he was hungry. He said yes. She pulled out a bag of ramen noodles. They opened them up, and he asked mom, where are you going to cook them at? And she said, now we're going to eat them dry. Right? And so, like, you know, definitely come from the bottom, but he's an amazing person, bro. Amazing person. And he also has game. He has game. And he's not even in his prime yet. And he's been in the league for a minute. He's about to enter his prime. And so this is a guy that I admire and I respect. And I can't wait to see, you know, what life brings him over these next couple years. That's why I'm saying, that's why I say, like, fuck the franchise tag. Like, when you know these people and you get to know these people, right, like, you want them to win. And a franchise mm-hmm. tag is not winning. I know some people, well, it's millions of dollars and this and that. And it's like, this is an NFL player. This is their business is different, right? Their business is different. You can't ask them to take, you know, I don't even want to compare them to corporate America or, you know, the average working class citizen. It's just not the same. It's not the same. And he puts his life on the line, which we've seen that with DeMar Hamlin and other football players. And he deserves the security and stability that he deserves. He deserves it. So,
agree, brother. I feel like he's just like the epitome of perseverance. But as we move forward, guys, BC, so you actually have something for us.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was going to ask you. So did y'all hear about the crazy story this weekend? A few days ago, the YSL attorney, Nicole Feagin, got arrested on gang charges.
I actually did.
That was wild that the attorney for the RICO case got arrested on gang charges.
Hold on, you got to go through the whole thing. Like, so, first of all, I don't know what you're talking about, but I also know, I definitely know about the YSL thing, but for those, can you get them caught up to speed?
Okay, so Young Thug, who's currently under trial for a RICO charge in Atlanta, Georgia, right? So the Atlanta PD confirmed Friday that the criminal defense lawyer was nabbed in Gwinnett County on warrants charging her with criminal solicitation to commit the offense of tampering with evidence and participating in criminal street gang activity. Feagin was arrested for allegedly cold calling a suspect in September 27, 2022, in a deadly double shooting in Northwest Atlanta. So according to the investigators, she learned in a preliminary hearing related to the shooting that there were active warrants for his arrest. She's accused of telling the unnamed person who she was not representing at the time to dispose of the phone as the police were going to arrest him. So, therefore, she was charged with gang activity.
This is
crazy. What do you guys think about that?
This is crazy.
You know, she's actually called the LeBron James of the legal world.
Really? I don't know. When I saw this, the first thing I thought about BC was, man, he going down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you think about your attorney. Your attorney is now going down.
Embroiled in criminal gang activity.
But it's just,
she's not his main attorney, I believe. I'm not sure. I know she's just one of the attorneys on his case. She's one of the defense lawyers on his case. I don't think she's his main attorney, but regardless of the fact, it looks horrible.
So, I'm just ready to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this doesn't look good. I am a believer, right, that you shouldn't be able to use, you know, what is it called? The Lyric Law. So basically what's happening is, you know, prosecutors are using the lyrics of rappers' songs as evidence. And I don't think
That shouldn't be the case at all. That shouldn't be the case at all because it's entertainment. You're not taking in these movie directors and screenwriters. You're not taking them in for things that they're writing and portraying on the movie screen.
That's right.
But I will say, though, and this may be an unpopular opinion, some of these rappers need to stop getting on records and telling on yourself and admitting to crimes on record.
Right, like, facts.
Stop doing that, and we wouldn't be in this position. So,
also, I know it's hard for some of these cats because the reality is where they come from, this is where they come from, right? And so, you know, a lot of our inspiration in any category is, you know, what we're actually experiencing.
No, but there's a way to tell it without telling on yourself.
No, I get it. But what I was getting at is it's like it comes a point where you just got to outgrow that. You have this amazing opportunity. You're getting paid, you know, for some of these cats, 50, 60, 70,000, 100,000 a show. Like, yo, like, you got to evolve, right? So, cool. You know, you that's where you come from. And, you know, it makes you money. It really does. It makes a lot of people money, mm-hmm. you know, glorifying some of this bullshit. But then when is enough enough? So you have to evolve. So I basically I'm piggybacking off of what you're saying as far as like, you know, look, stop going on record. But also you got to also come to a point where it's like, all right, let me stop going to the hood. I got too much to lose.
Yeah.
Which is difficult for some of them. A lot of them.
I never seen this, but I saw this when I Googled. It's Nicole Fagan. Fagan. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of pictures with this shirt. Other people do too, but it says "Got Proof," and it just makes me think like she's being arrested for evidence tampering. So it's like almost seems like this is maybe something that she's done several times. You get what I'm saying? Like you got proof.
I think that's her. If I'm not mistaken, but you get what I'm saying?
It's kind of backfiring now.
Well, she's a defense attorney, so that's going to be their whole thing is, you know, you got proof, prove it. You know what I mean? That's a whole defense lawyer's.
And now you being arrested whole MO, on evidence. You know what I mean?
So now, exactly.
That's nasty work,
that's nasty. Bro. And, like, she didn't even, she wasn't even representing this guy. So that's why, because if it was lawyer-client privilege, she may have been able to get away with that call, you know what I mean? But because you're not even representing this dude, you just associated, and so it looks crazy. This whole case is a shit show right now between the guy, the other one that I think there was somebody who tried to sneak the perks in court, between the prosecutor now, you know, well, that's not even in this case, but the prosecutor in his case is also being dragged in about a improper relationship in the Trump case.
Fannie Willis. Yeah.
So it's this whole thing is just.
It's literally. It's a circus.
So
bro.
It's like, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, if we're not getting convictions, man, just let the man go and let's go about our business.
I feel you on that. I definitely feel like this case is. It should get thrown out at this point because it's not even a fair trial anymore. But it's a joke on both sides, defense, prosecution. Like, yeah. There's no. And by the way, like, let's just say it out loud, bro. Like, are we losing our minds as adults on the internet? Meaning, like what you said before about the lyric law, right? I think a lot of it is everyone's wanting to push that next level. And I think it's because they want to show up on the internet. They want to show out viral, whatever you want to call it. They want to make the money. But it's like we're losing ourselves as a people. Mm. And it's coming. And I know we don't have a lot of time to talk on this, but it does feel like we're being not controlled. I'm not a conspiracy theorist necessarily, but I'm just saying that it feels like we're leaning too hard into this and it's creating so much issues for us as a society.
100%. I mean, see people pushing back now. And having these conversations. And we'll certainly continue the conversation here on Paper Route. One of the things that we do here, we talk sports, but we also talk culture. And so I appreciate y'all bringing that up. And we'll continue to follow that story and update you as we go. Because that is crazy. The attorney is going down as well.
That's wild.
We'll see y'all tomorrow. Paper Route. Brandon Marshall here, BC in the booth. Andrew out west. Yes, sir.